Good morning, everyone. Morning. So today's scripture is from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 35. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowd all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world.
So the last number of weeks, we've been reflecting on the church, the church body, the nature of the church, thinking of after Easter, the church is born, and particularly leading up to Pentecost Sunday, which is next week, where the church explodes and begins to move around the globe, an amazing reality. So we're thinking terms of the church, the community, and particularly this issue of how does a faith community grow, all right? So that's kind of where we're going. I want to begin with a quote by Ronald Snyder. There is something spontaneous about church growth. Normal growth does not depend upon successful techniques or programs, although planning has its place, for sure. Rather, growth is the normal consequence of spiritual life. What is alive grows. Normal church growth is spontaneous in the sense that the nature of the church is to grow spiritually, numerically, and in its cultural impact. What is alive grows? So a church is an organism, a body, scriptures say, not simply an organization. So if something alive is there, it grows. So we've been seeing that recently. Beth and I went to Plant World on Eglinton. It's this big place that sells plants. Unfortunately, it's closing up in the fall, so more condos can go in there. That's what we need. More and more buildings, less and less green space. Anyway, that's happening. But you go in there, and everybody's in there this time of year. They're wanting to get their plants, to get their seeds, to see how things grow. Beth has an orchid in our kitchen. At some point, that just started with a little seed. And now it's this beautiful orchid. You look at it, it's really quite amazing. So the church, if it's alive, it grows. If we are spiritually alive, then we grow in the Lord. So that's where Snyder's going with that. So the questions then for us is, how does the kingdom of God grow? How does the church grow? How do we remove hindrances to growth? And I love this statement from Matthew a few chapters on. New wine must be put into fresh wine skins. That's Jesus' statement. New wine must be put into new wine skins. The church always has to grow, to adapt, to adjust. That's putting new wine into new wine skins. Our own lives, in a sense. Wine, Jesus' wine coming into our hearts. We're going to have communion later. Jesus' wine coming into our hearts. How are we responsive? How are we adapting in our lives to know Him more and more? If we're alive, we grow. So, 2 parables are told then about growth. And the first one is like a mustard seed. These we know well. We've heard these a lot. Jesus taught in parables. And you note, with these parables, there's no explanation given. Each parable is just stated, moves on. And that's, we're going to talk a little bit about explaining, but Jesus wasn't doing that. He was just speaking to the crowds. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. But when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air came and make nests in its branches. So Jesus tells that story, and then he leaves it with you to figure it out. That's an adult way of, you know, looking at things. We tell, we speak, and you have a responsibility, I have a responsibility. It's a bit comical, I think. So you can just imagine, it's a person, the text looks at it, the way the pronouns work, there it is a man, the next one will be a woman. But a man takes a seed, one seed, kind of comical, right? You wouldn't normally do this. Takes the one seed out into the field, plants the one little seed. Oh, wow, there we go. And it grows into this amazing tree or massive bush. That's what happens. The one little seed explodes into the growth. So here's a picture. See that little seed? That's a mustard seed. On the end of your finger, there's a very, very small seed. Jesus picks that intentionally. It's tiny, tiny, tiny. But it grows into that big tree or bush. Little seed. Into this great tree. In Canada, we have these massive cedars on the west coast, right? Stretch up hundreds and hundreds of feet. Start with a little nut. Grows into this huge, huge tree. Some of the largest organisms on the planet, living objects, comes from a little seed. So that's what Jesus is saying. That's what people know. That's what they're imagining when he tells that story. Mysterious life forces in a little seed. Everything that's needed is in that seed. All the abundance of a massive tree in a tiny little seed. We have some maple trees in our backyard. They've been there for quite a while, and they're pretty darn high. They started with a little seed. Now they're 50 feet high. Wow. So all of that energy, that's what Jesus is saying. Life just explodes all around the globe. Mysterious life forces in a seed. In Christ's ministry and presence, this is what he's saying, this is what's behind it, is just like that. So the seed of faith is planted. His word is planted. And the seed leads to full life. So if Jesus is planted in your life, my life, we can anticipate abundance. We can anticipate growth. We can anticipate that it's going to make some difference, because that's what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like somebody takes a little seed, plants it in the ground, and it grows into a massive tree. That's what Jesus is saying. Then he moves on. So we are called to just think about that. Just think about, what does that say about the kingdom of heaven? What does it say for you? To think of the kingdom of heaven as like a seed and grows into a big tree. That's what Jesus wants the crowds to start thinking about. It's what we want to think about here too. 3 points I'll suggest. One, it's a victorious ending, full life. That's the picture. A seed grows into this big tree, all right? It's a happy story. It's effective, number one. Number two, there's an element of surprise. It first of all starts talking about a bush, a shrub. The kingdom of heaven is like a big shrub. Then Matthew adds a tree. Well, normally we probably wouldn't think about the kingdom of heaven going from a seed to a big shrub, right? We might think going to a massive tree in the west coast of Canada. Now that's impressive. Into a big shrub. So Jesus turns it on end. There's something that will catch the hearer's ear. And then thirdly, it's a picture of outward growth. The kingdom of heaven will grow. The kingdom of heaven. The disciples, 12 disciples, and all they've done is travel around Galilee. 2,000 years later, the church is all around the planet. In every country in the world, the church is there. External growth, that's the idea. Second parable, it is like yeast. What does that mean? He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took. Interesting, here it's a woman. And the scriptures do this all the time. When it talks about God, it's not, I've mentioned, always male language. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed. Definitely a woman that he's talking about. The kingdom of heaven is like someone takes this yeast and mixes it into the flour. The image is God doing all this, ultimately. It's a man, it's a woman. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman takes and mixes in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Again, this is somewhat humorous because the amount of bread that is made can feed 100 people. So you think of the woman in her kitchen. She's just going crazy, man, and there are loaves going everywhere. We're going to feed the whole church. That's the idea. And so the people are hearing that. Wow, that's a lot of bread. 3 measures, that's massive. Again, Jesus getting their attention. Today, we don't get it necessarily. We don't make bread that way. Anybody make bread? Way to go, Bernice. You make bread. Excellent. We're all going to your house this week for bread. That's cool. In Bolivia and all, everybody makes bread. That happens. People are making bread. Lots of countries in the world, people are still doing it in Jesus' day for sure. The potent leaven, it transforms the entire amount. Again, it's a story of success. That's what Jesus is saying. And again, it is like the power and presence of his ministry. It's not just about external growth, but it's about interior growth. Jesus' ministry is like that. Growing both outside, growing inside. From the inside out, we sang. That's the kingdom of God. Another surprise. Again, Jesus turns it on its head. Yeast, normally in Scripture, is a negative image. For example, Passover, what do they do? For a whole week, for 7 days, all the yeast is taken out of the homes, swept clean of all this stuff, this infection, this corruption. So he takes something that was very negative in their culture, and now he says the kingdom of heaven is like that. I mean, often we wouldn't be able to do that, right? We wouldn't be bold enough to do that. What's some image that our culture generally is very negative about? Jesus says, you know what, I'll take that, and that's what I'll say the kingdom of heaven is like. We'll turn it on its head. That would have got a lot of people's attention, too. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. What are you talking about? But that's the way Jesus teaches. Interior growth. Kingdom of heaven. I don't know, when you hear about that interior growth, what is there anything happened inside you? The kingdom of God is meant to grow interiorly. There's an interiority about it. Our relationship with God and Jesus is to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But you know, we can, in our culture, in our distraction, in our malaise, in our spiritual malaise, in our spiritual boredom, we can hear about that and not get excited at all. Interior growth. We may say, oh man, I haven't grown spiritually in 10 years. I don't know. But Jesus wants us to grow, to open up. So I think when he's using images like that, he's trying to wake us up. What's your heart long for? What's your heart desire? What does my heart long for? I think there is part of us that actually really wants this. Jesus says, you know what, when we don't know what to pray, what happens? The Holy Spirit prays for us. He groans in our hearts at a level we don't even know. And so when you and I are distracted on the service and we're just all caught up about all the things we got to do this week and we're not hardly thinking about a God at all, the Holy Spirit is within us and our spirit groans at some unconscious level that we're not even aware of, and the Holy Spirit is still holding on to us. Even when we haven't given him a thought all week, man. We haven't thought about Jesus at all. But the Spirit is working and moving. The Spirit groans in us, Paul says, in a way that we don't even know. If we've been holding on for the faith for a long time, it's because the Holy Spirit is groaning in your heart and mind in a way we don't even know. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't even be here. We get so sucked in by our culture, so distracted by our culture. Our priorities and our values get all mixed up. But the Spirit hangs in there with us. So the kingdom of heaven and the church. So how do they come together? Those two parables, what do they suggest? I'm going to suggest six different points. Before we do it, God is at work even though human eyes may fail to perceive what is happening. I like that quote. God is at work even though we may not even see what's happening. So Jesus plants the seed. The seed is planted. So what does that say about the church? The seed is planted. All of the potential of our relationship with God is planted in that tiny little seed. And so evangelism is sharing, right? The church grows, we grow as the seed is planted. So you say something. You say something to some friend. It's a throwaway sentence. You think nothing's happened. And that little sentence, a few words, can stop somebody dead, stop someone in their tracks, something. And that little seed starts germinating and moving and growing. Can you think of times in your life like that? Somebody says something. When I was in seminary, I had an Old Testament professor, Don Leggett. Don passed away a few years ago. When I went to seminary, I was still thinking about music. It was all about music. I was going to go there, learn a little bit more about faith so I could write songs that were a little bit more intelligent than what I was writing before. That's all it was about. I wasn't thinking about doing anything else. And I remember after making a presentation, Don Leggett, later in the class, stops me down in the lobby on the run. And he says, Alan, he says, you do a good job at presenting. You do a good job at teaching. He says, I like your pacing. I like how it moves along. It was just a throwaway comment. Well, thanks. Thanks, Professor Leggett. But you know what? That little thing stayed with me. Now, whether that's true or not, that was his impression. And that little comment has stayed with me for a long time. That fueled me. That started thinking about me. Well, maybe I should start thinking a little bit more in some other ways. A throwaway comment. That's a little seed. And so we can plant those seeds. We can plant those seeds in our kids, our grandkids, your family, your wider circle, people at work, a little seed. You don't have any idea where that's going. So we have to trust. We have to have faith. Evangelism is just telling our story. It's just sharing something about us and Jesus. That's all. Not a big deal. Jesus can use that. But the seed also needs a certain environment to grow, right? So we have to put in those proper inputs ourselves if we want the seed to grow. Water it. Put some soil in, right? All the things. You know all about that stuff. But we know if we're doing it spiritually or not. If we put a seed and nothing happens, the seed just goes on a hard path. Jesus tells the story. The birds of the air come along, pick up the seed, and it's gone. We throw it in amongst the thorns. The thorns choke it out. So what resources are we putting in there around our seed? What responsibility are we taking up? Jesus wants you and I to work. We are his children, but we're not babies. We're adults. And he wants us to take responsibility. Do you want to know me or not? Do you ever read my word? Do you ever listen for my voice? Do you ever sing praises? I mean, he's patient, he's gentle, for sure, but we are still adults. Paul says, don't be babies any longer. Grow up. We're invited to grow. So it means some responsibility on our end. I heard one amen. Some responsibility. Do you relate to that? Tell me you do. Amen. Amen. Some responsibility. What is it for you? All our spiritual, the disciplines are different, right? Evelyn Underhill says you got to use your spiritual muscles just like you do when you work out. And what she means by that is what works for me may not work for you. You got to find out what disciplines work for you. And then grab onto them and do it. The power of the community. The power of koinonia. Tending the garden. All the pruning that goes on in a good garden. My buddy Rob Parsons has a backyard, big, big backyard, grows all kinds of vegetables. I'm jealous of all his vegetables, Rob. I don't know how you do all that, man. But he does it. There's all the weeding. Beth has started. What do you grow up, Beth? No, I want to know what you grow. What do you grow? You grow something. Basil. She grows basil, man, that kicks butt, right? Basil. Rob has a whole garden. All right, that's okay. Tend the garden. That's the idea. Will we tend it? And will the church tend it? Will we enter into the koinonia, the fellowship? This is how the church grows. This is how the body of Christ grows. It's all in front of us. We just have to do it. We need to exercise our gifts. The synergy of the charismatic community, each of us doing our parts. All of us doing what we can for the glory of God. Celebrating diversity. We mentioned the Raptors last week, right? They won their game. They play tonight. All right, we can think about that a little bit. But it's interesting what the papers have been doing about the Toronto crowds. I've been reading any of that. They've been celebrating the diversity and the multicultural response to the Raptors and how it's just bringing the whole city together. And there have been pictures of, you know, the crowds down in, you know, the area around the arena where they're, it's just, wow, it's amazing. Everybody from all around the world are united in sport, as Nikkei says. United in sport. The diversity of that. Well, you know what? That's what the church is supposed to be about. It's what we have here. It's a beautiful thing where we come together and we praise God, united not in sport, but united in Jesus. So that's the beauty of the Church of Christ when we are doing that. And fifthly, we talked about the church and the gospel being the holistic gospel. This is Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry is both by word and by deed. What does he do? What does Matthew say in Matthew 4? He says Jesus' ministry was about teaching. Interesting that he starts with teaching, preaching, and healing. That's what Jesus did. Meaning he speaks with his word, and then he does all these amazing things. Takes care of people's needs, pains. It says he met people's pains. We have lots of pains. We go to lots of doctors, right? Maybe we need to go to Jesus a bit more about our pains, because he was taking care of people's pains. Lists all the diseases, and then there's just that one, pains. What does that mean? Just pain. So it's both evangelistic and prophetic, and of course the book of James is all about that. If somebody says that they're interested in Christ and they have all kinds of needs and we all only say a few words to them, that's not enough, James says. We have to take care of their needs as well. And so this slide I like of Jesus in the bread lines. There's Jesus in the poor, amongst the needy, wanting his food, his soul food. And it just expresses our desire to walk with those who are hurting. So the food bank and its ability to meet people's need. Diana Stapleton was with Darlene and I this week talking about ways, various issues. But it was interesting, she said she visits, because of her work, she visits all kinds of food banks in Toronto. Up in Markham, other parts of the city where we think there may not be issues. Food banks all around our city. Some fancy, some not so fancy, but all delivering food. Some people with no work, some people with work, but they still need the food. Meeting people's needs where they're at. And so that's our desire too, isn't it? We want to do that. And sometimes what somebody needs from us is not just words, but they need some help in some way. So how do we respond in that situation? This is all how the church grows. If we're only words and no action, don't anticipate growth. If it's action but no words, same issue. And you put all this together, and at the same time, it's a slow work. How long does it take for a little seed to grow into a big tree? Maple tree, 40, 50, 60 years, whatever. Oak trees longer, cedars longer, but it takes time. And it takes time for the church to grow. And God is a slow God. Depending on your view of, you know, science and creation and everything else, you know, we have different views. But I mean, what scientists tell us that it took 4.5 billion years for the planet to evolve where it is. 4.5 billion for our planet. That's a bit of time, don't you think? And God is a slow God. And our universe has taken 12 billion. God's a slow God. I got the time. I can wait it out. No issues, man. The universe. The earth. Whatever way it is. Psalmist says one day is like 1,000 years for God. He can take the time, man. And you know what? The good news is he takes the time with you and me. He takes the time when we screw up. He takes the time when we do things we shouldn't have done. He just takes the time. You know, in kids' games, they say, hey, no do-overs. You can't do that again, man. You did it once. God says you can do it over, all you want, man. Do-overs, lots of do-overs. Because he's compassionate. He's patient. And he loves you and he loves me so much that he doesn't get ticked off and just says, that's it. No more, man. That was just one too many do-overs. No more for you. He's loving. He's kind. He's patient. He's patient with our church, with the church out there, his church, his world. He is patient. Gives us lots of time. So that should be encouraging, I think, for us. God's a slow God, patient God. He cares for you and he cares for me. So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed to a big tree. The kingdom of heaven is like taking yeast and making a whole whack of bread like a big bakery. And the church has elements like that. May we grow, may we desire to grow. What is alive grows? What is spiritually alive grows? So we can anticipate growth. We can nurture that, and part of the way we do that is through the Lord's table, and we're going to move to that. In Jesus' name, amen.